Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 6. Matthew 11, verse 6. These words: "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And our subject this morning is the offense of the gospel. These words that speak of the offense of the gospel. Well, just to begin, as always, with the context that we see here in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the words of our dear Lord and Savior. And well, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to two followers of John the Baptist. Now, we know who John the Baptist is or was. Well, he is a great man. Before the Lord Jesus Christ began his own preaching ministry, well, it was John the Baptist who was preaching to the multitudes, preaching to the people, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was John the Baptist in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord. It was John the Baptist who baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was John who, if you remember, pointed to the Lord and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist. But at this present time, John the Baptist is in prison. We read that in verse 2. "Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ," John the Baptist has been imprisoned. He will very soon be beheaded. Why? Well, because he rebuked Herod the king for taking his brother's wife. And well, he was therefore imprisoned, and he would soon be beheaded. But before that, he sends two of his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ with a question. And we read that question in verse 3. He said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John sends two of his disciples with that question: "Art thou he that should come?" In other words, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? The Messiah. Are you the one whom the prophets had spoken of? In the Old Testament, there were many prophets, and their prophecies, well, in their prophecies, they would often speak of the coming of a Messiah, of a Savior, one who would be sent from God, one who would be God, God with us. The prophets were saying, "Look for him. Look for his appearing. He will come and he will be a savior and a deliverer for his people." And the question, therefore, to the Lord Jesus Christ is, are you that one? Are you the Messiah, the chosen one, the Christ? And he was, of course. He is the Messiah. He is sent from God. He is God, the second person of the Trinity, the triune Godhead, one God, but three persons within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And well, one of the great evidences that he was the Messiah was the works that he did. His words, yes, glorious words spake this man, but his works, his glorious miracles. Look at how the Lord answers these disciples in verse 4. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Glorious, miraculous things. And while the prophet said that miraculous things would accompany the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Messiah, this is how you will know who the Messiah is. Well, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. When Messiah comes, you will see all these things. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he points to his works, And he's really saying, yes, I am. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. But let's come to verse 6, because this is what I would like to spend some time on this morning. He adds at the end, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, this is a word that is very relevant for us today. Very relevant for us today. Whosoever shall not be offended. Offended. A relevant word for us. We live in a society, well, certainly before this crisis came upon us, we live in a society that is constantly taking offense at something. You have to be very careful what you say nowadays, what you say to people, what you post online, what you tweet, what you put on Facebook. Why? Well, because people are always being offended. They're always being offended. That is the way of the modern era, of the modern age, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years. It seems to me, and this is just an observation, it seems to me that people like taking offense. They actually like to take offense. People want to be in an offended group. They want to be in an offended group because to be offended, well, it seems to give people a certain power. If you're in an offended group, an easily offended group, it gives you power. And well, I could give many examples. You think of the most important and influential groups, the most powerful groups in society at large. For example, the feminist group. The feminist group, they have a lot of power at this present time. They're very influential. You can't say anything against the feminist group. Why? Because if you do, they'll be very offended. And so, well, you just have to be quiet. You have to submit. You see, they have a lot of power because they're so easily offended. Offense gives people power. You think of the homosexual lobby. They have a lot of influence. They have a lot of power. Nowadays, you can't say anything against them. Why? Because if you do, they'll be offended. So we all have to be very quiet. To be offended gives us great power. If you're unoffended, you won't have that power. If you're not offended at what people say, well, that power is not yours. But if you are offended, well, then you have that power. Then you have that influence. So it seems to me that people like to be offended nowadays because it gives them great power. But that's just an observation I make. And well, this is the spirit of the age. But it seems that everybody is offended by the Christian message, whoever they are, whatever background they are from, whether they are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, people seem to be offended by the Christian message. Of course, if you are a Christian, you're not offended. If you are a Christian, the gospel is a glorious message. It's your salvation. It's your life. Of course it is. But for everybody else, the Christian message, it seems, is offensive. It's offensive to our fallen human nature. And well, even the scriptures tell us that this is the fact, that the gospel is an offense. We read that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 8, that the gospel, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it is a rock of offense. That's how Peter puts it. The gospel is a rock of offense, a stumbling stone to the natural man. The gospel is offensive. But why is the gospel so offensive? Why is the word of God so offensive to people? Let's just consider this. There's much that could be said, of course. One of the things that people find offensive about the word of God, about the gospel, well, people don't like this doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to God. That's offensive to people. The only way? Surely there must be other ways. What about all the other religions? What about all the other philosophies? To say that Christ is the only way, that is very offensive. That's one of the ways in which the gospel message offends people. Well, the other religions, of course, They have their own points of contention with the Christian faith. Islam, for example, they're offended by the Christian religion because, well, as I've just already mentioned, Christ is the Son of God. They get very offended. How can God have a son? If you say that God can have a son, well, that's very offensive to us. It offends the Muslims. Again, well, you mentioned, I mentioned the feminist group earlier on. Well, certain feminist groups, they get offended by the word of God because they think that certain passages, certain verses subjugate women and so on. They don't, but that's what they think. And they get very offended by these things. So there are many reasons why people get offended by the gospel message. But you know what the great offense is in the gospel? The great rock of offense is that word sin. That is what people are so offended by. It's such a little word, isn't it? Sin, three letters, such a little word, but it gives such great offense to people. Sin. That is what is so offensive about the gospel message, about the Christian message, about the word of God, the claim of the Bible that we are all sinners. Well, what does it mean that we are all sinners? Just very briefly to go through this, because sometimes when people ask us, why are we sinners, we get a bit lost and we don't know what to say. What does it mean that we are all sinners? Well, it means two things, essentially. One, that we have broken the laws of God. We've all broken the laws of God. The Ten Commandments, they're published in the Word of God, the holy law of God, God's holy law, how we ought to live. And we have all broken those laws. We all have. We have all lied at least once. We have all stolen something. We've all been greedy. We've all wanted more than we need or should have. We've all been covetous. We've all been full of lust, lusting after things or people that we shouldn't have. We've all broken God's laws. And in the sight of God, therefore, we are lawbreakers. We are criminals. We are sinners. In the sight of a holy God, that is what we are. We are sinners. But it's not just what we have done. Yes, we're sinners because we've broken the law of God. Sin is not just the things that we have done, however, it's the way we are. It's our state. We are sinners by nature. We are rebels against God. That is our nature. We don't want to keep God's laws. We've broken God's laws because we don't want to keep God's laws. We couldn't care less about them, and we don't want God to reign over us. We don't want his authority. We don't want to be held accountable to him. We're not interested in following God at all. This is the way we are. We are born sinners, born rebels against God. And well, that is a measure of our sin. That is our sinful nature. So it's the things that we have done. We have broken the laws of God, but it's also what we are. We are rebel sinners against God. And well, when people hear this, that's offensive to people. We all like to think we're very good people. We're good people, even now in the current crisis. We're at pains to say to one another, oh, we're so wonderful. Look at what we're doing for one another. We're very good people. To say that we're sinners, that's deeply offensive. How dare you say that we are sinners? How dare you tell us that there is something wrong with us? But dear friends, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Whosoever shall not be offended. Dear friends, don't be offended. Would you be offended if, for example, you went to a doctor? You went to a doctor and he examined you and he said there is something wrong with you. You're not in perfect physical health as you thought you were. There's something very wrong with you. You're very ill. You're very sick. Would you be offended at the doctor? Would you say to the doctor, how dare you tell me that I am sick? No, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't be offended at that doctor. You would be thankful. This doctor has spotted my illness. I didn't know that I was sick. Now I've been told that I'm ill. Now I can be treated for my illness. Now I can be made better. If this doctor hadn't been here, if he hadn't diagnosed me, well, perhaps I would have died. But now I know. Now I can be treated. Now I can be healed. You wouldn't be offended. You will be thankful. Well, it's the same with the gospel message. Don't be offended by it. The gospel, the word of God, it exposes our sin so that it can be treated. So that our sin can be treated. So that our sin can be washed away and removed. So that we can be healed. Don't be offended by it. Blessed is he who is not offended by these things. Blessed is the one who is thankful that his sin has been exposed and that he can come into the light of the gospel for healing. And this is what the gospel brings, dear friends. It offers healing. It offers salvation. It offers free salvation. Free salvation, free forgiveness, if we only have faith. And you know, well, this is a funny thing. People even get offended by this, that the gospel is a free gospel, the free offer of salvation in the gospel. People get offended by it. People say to you, well, you know, I don't want to receive something free. I don't want some spiritual handout. As though I'm some sort of beggar. I want something I can earn. I want something that I can deserve. I want to earn my acceptance with God. That's what people want. They don't want something free. That offends them. I want to earn my favor with God. That's why people like the other religions. The other religions, they just tell you if you pray, if you go on a pilgrimage, if you give money, well, then you'll be accepted by God. You've deserved it. You've earned it. Well done. That's what people want. Well, they want something to be proud of. But you can't be proud in the gospel. You can't be proud of something that you freely received. That offends people. The free offer of salvation, it offends people. People want something that they deserve. But dear friends, the teaching of the scripture, if you don't have Christ, if you don't have his grace, the forgiveness of your sin, well, the only thing that you actually deserve, according to the scripture, the only thing you actually deserve is hell. That's what we deserve, according to the word of God. You can't possibly, through your own good works, earn heaven. You can't get to heaven through your own good works. The standard is too high. The only thing you actually deserve is hell, a lost eternity. Because of your unpardoned and unforgiven sin. And well, of course, people find that so offensive to speak about such things, to point out that there may be consequences for sin. That is so offensive to people, that God is a holy God, that God is a consuming fire, that God hates sin and must judge sinners. That is so offensive to people. You know, dear friends, we are living in a time of judgment now. This is a type of judgment. Of course it is. And yet, have you noticed how nobody wants to say that this is a time of judgment? None of the religious leaders who are so often quick to speak, the archbishop and so on, nobody wants to say that this coronavirus has come because it is a judgment against the wickedness and the sin of this world. Everybody's too scared. Why? Because people will be so offended. If you say that, people will be so offended. But dear friends, do we not stop for a moment and think of how God is offended? How God is offended at our sin? How God is offended at the rebellion of this world? How God is offended at how the world has celebrated immorality and wickedness for so long. How the world has called evil things good and good things evil. Do you not think how a holy God is offended the God who has created life in the womb? The scriptures teach us, he knows us even from the womb. Do you not think God is offended at the great number, the vast number of abortions that take place each and every year? The tens of thousands of lives lost, all those numbers of all the abortions, they appear before God in heaven. Just as we see the numbers every day published before us because of the coronavirus, God sees every day and has seen all the numbers of the unseen dead. And he's offended. He is offended, the holy God. Do we not think that God, the God who made them male and female, do you not think that he is offended when the whole world embraces same-sex marriage and celebrates it? Even his church, even his people are celebrating something that goes against the word of God. Do you not think God is offended? God is offended. God is angry at these things. Do we not see this in the present crisis? Do we not see that God is offended? Let us not look at how offended we are. God is angry at us. And dear friends, this is a judgment because God is angry. And this is a warning, of course, because, well, this is only a type of judgment. There is a final judgment coming, a final judgment when we all have to stand before God. And God will be offended at your sin, your personal sin. And therefore, we must seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have faith in Christ. Dear friends, look to him. If you haven't already, are you offended in Christ? We've spoken of so many things already, but you know, even in the time of the Lord, even when the Lord walked upon the earth, there were people who were offended by him. They were offended by his claims that he was the Messiah. They would look at the Lord, this Jesus of Nazareth, and they would say to themselves, really, is he the Messiah? This person, this carpenter, he's the Messiah with his small band of fishermen? Oh, this claim that he's a Messiah, this offends me. Look at him. He's from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They were offended at him. And you know, it's exactly the same way nowadays. You bring the gospel to people, you say to them that this is what we need, they're offended. This gospel message, this is the way to happiness. This is the way to true peace and true joy. This tale about a man who lived about 2,000 years ago, I'm offended at these things. People are offended at the cross of Calvary. People don't want it. They say, oh, don't give me this message about a man dying on a cross. How is that going to help me? You tell me to worship this? You tell me to put my faith in his shed blood? They're offended at these things. How distasteful. How offensive to me. Oh, dear friends, that is so sad. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, whosoever is not offended in the cross. When they see the cross, they are not offended. Blessed is that man who, when he sees the cross, well, he sees a wondrous cross, a cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. When he sees that cross, he sees the incarnate God dying for his sins that he had committed. My sins are laid upon him. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man who marvels. How could the Lord Jesus Christ have taken upon himself the punishment for my sin? My sin? Christ was not offended. Let's think about this just for a second. Christ was not offended. Christ was not offended at the thought of coming down from heaven, from his glorious home in heaven. He came down from heaven to earth to take upon himself the sins of poor wretches such as we are. When I think about Christ dying on the cross, I think what a glory that is. He came down from heaven to earth to take upon himself the punishment for me, such a worthless man. And Christ was not offended at that thought. He was not offended. He didn't say to himself, I'm not going down to die for him. He came down. He loved me. He gave himself for me. He was not offended. He loved us and he gave himself for us. Oh, what a glorious gospel. Christ was not offended to give himself for unworthy sinners such as we are. He was not offended. He loved us. We must love him too, dear friends. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Dear friends, come to Christ. If you come to Christ, and I have to say this, if you come to Christ, well, it is most likely that somebody will be offended. Perhaps it'll be your friends. Perhaps it'll be your family. That was the case for me. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of my friends were offended. You've become a Christian. You've become a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian. You're going to repent and have faith. Oh, we're so offended by this. We're not hanging out with you anymore. People were offended at these things. My friends were offended. And perhaps it will be the case for you, or has been the case when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friends, remember this. On that great and coming day, when Christ shall return, he will not be offended in you. And that will be all that matters on that day. Christ will not be offended in you, the Almighty God. We read in Matthew chapter 25, that when Christ returns, he will say to his people, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Christ will not be offended. Christ will not be ashamed of you. He will receive you into heavenly places. You shall forever dwell with the living God. Dear friends, that is what it means to be blessed. That is what it means to be blessed. To be blessed means that you shall be blessed forevermore. Not just in this life, but forevermore. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This is the glorious gospel of grace. This is the message this morning. Dear friends, don't be offended at anything I've said. Don't be offended at the gospel, at the word of God. Be blessed this day. Be a blessed man. Be a blessed woman. Be a blessed child. This world, well, what it doesn't need at this moment in time, what this world doesn't need at this time is to be offended. That is not going to help it in any way, shape, or form to be offended at the word of God. What the world needs to do at this time is to humble itself before a holy God, fear the God who is greatly to be feared, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of our dear Saviour, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. May God mightily help us and bless us and save us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we thank thee for thy word that is truth, oh Lord. Help us each one who has heard this message, not to be offended, but to be blessed of thee, to be loved by thee, to know that they are right with thee, to know that they have all their sins forgiven. Oh, dear Lord, come in almighty saving power. Remove our offense, dear Lord, and fill our hearts with love and gratitude because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.